The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you again for choosing to spend some time with me here today. And boy, cold. Man, you know, it's days and weeks like these that make me really wonder why I left the island of Kauai. However, there were a lot of good reasons. But you go back and say, man, do I really have to be this cold? Is it really necessary? So it's funny, when I left Kauai back in 2014, my wife and I had been there. We spent a year in Australia doing my fellowships, and then we spent 10 years on the island of Kauai. And yeah, we got pretty used to it. We lived a couple blocks from the beach. We could walk right to the beach, and it was never even a little bit cold. And when it became clear the reasons that I left, the hospital was in very big financial trouble, and they were talking about closing it down, and the medical staff had depleted, and there weren't a lot of primary care providers to provide referrals. And my dad was sick with cancer at the time, and I thought, well, you know, and the schools on the island of Kauai weren't the best, and so we just decided to move to the mainland. So we went and we interviewed at three different places. The first was up in upstate New York, and the second was in Champaign-Urbana, and the third was out in the Hamptons in New York. So we were scheduling our interview, and we're laying in bed on a Sunday morning, and we're looking at this interview in Champaign-Urbana in Illinois, and my wife pulls up the weather. She said, it's 100 degrees colder there because it was 80 where we were, and it was negative 20 in Champaign-Urbana. And she's like, what are we doing? But anyway, we ended up there for a couple years before we came to Des Moines and Iowa, and have been in Iowa ever since. But oftentimes during those days where it's so cold that you can't even see your breath, that's how cold it is, I sometimes wonder if maybe all those things would have worked out. But listen, I saw my dad. When my dad got sick, really sick, he had been struggling with one type of cancer, and then he got another type, and they gave him 9 months to live. And this was back in 21, so kind of right while it was during COVID, because I remember sitting at his condo in Florida when COVID started to really come on the news. And I can remember saying to him, I'll be here every other weekend, because he had just lost my brother and he had just lost my stepmom. And so I was able to go every other weekend. And luckily, he lived right near Port Charlotte, and he lived in Port Charlotte, sorry, which is right near the airport in Punta Gorda. And so there, during that time of the year, there happened to be direct flights from Des Moines to Punta Gorda. And so I was able to go every other week. And then when the last time I left, I got home and I was driving from the airport in Des Moines up to Carroll. And I got a call from the hospice nurse and said, you got to come back. This is it. And so turned back around, got on an airplane, and there was actually a huge hurricane. It might have been tropical storm at that point, but at one point it was a hurricane coming in. And so we're on the plane and we really weren't sure if we're going to be able to land. And so we actually were able to land. We were, I think, the last plane in before they closed the airport. And then I got to his condo and I was there with him. And when he passed, it was something that I wanted to do. And I was able to do that because we lived here instead of Hawaii. And so when I get really cold, I do go ahead and look at the fact that there were a lot of reasons that coming here was the right thing at the right time. And that is for sure, because I wouldn't have wanted to miss any of those last visits with my dad, for sure. And my kids got to see him a few times when they wouldn't have. And because when we moved back to the mainland, the kids were 6 and 4. And they were able to really develop a relationship with my dad. And of course, with my mom as well. And then my in-laws. And many of them, well, both my in-laws have passed and my dad and my stepmom have passed since that time. So the relationships that my kids will have forever, those memories of their grandparents, they just wouldn't have had if we'd have stayed out there. So I am very blessed to be living in Iowa, and I have to remind myself of that when it's this cold, but it has been wonderful from a family perspective to be able to really let those relationships develop as the girls grew. And that was a blessing that just can't be overstated. So that's what I think about when I think to myself, maybe you should be in Hawaii. And then I say, yeah, but this is why we're here. So I thought I would start, I know this isn't the first show of the year, but I thought I would start a bit of a series on kind of going over, well, what's the state of the art in 2025 in certain aspects of orthopedic care, because things have changed a little bit in some areas and a lot in others. And some of the things that I talked about even 2 or 3 years ago, I've changed on how I'm doing knee replacements. So I'm just going to run through today. I'm going to run through knee replacements. And so as any of the longtime listeners know, we have the Mako robot here at St. Anthony's in Carroll. The Mako robot is a robot that allows us to do specifically knee replacements in a completely different manner than not having a robot. Now, there are other robots out there, but I can tell you that I have looked at all of them, and the difference is, put it this way, the other ones are either free or cost a couple hundred thousand, and the Mako costs $1.5 million. And I'm not in the business of wasting money for the hospital. So the fact that they went and got the absolute premium robot, you know, reflects their commitment to having the best treatment for patients in all aspects. And it just tells you that there's robotic surgery and then there's the Mako. And some of the quote unquote robotic surgeries, there are a couple, I don't want to name any of the other platforms, but some of the platforms that kind of hold themselves out to be robotic don't even have a robotic arm. I don't know how they call themselves robotic because there's no robot at all involved in it. So I'm just not sure how they can get away with calling it robot. And then there are other robotic arm platforms, but they don't have the saw attached to the arm and they're not the same level of abilities, capabilities, and things like that. It just is what it is. We just bought the best platform, and I would have a debate with anybody about why. I mean, part of it is the other ones use x-rays. So you're using the regular same old x-ray that you would always have used with an old-fashioned knee replacement. And when I say old-fashioned, I mean non-robotic, because I really honestly believe that the data keeps coming out in favor of robots, and eventually everybody's going to have the robots. And you can see that when we were the third or fourth one in Iowa to get one. Now there's 15 or so in Iowa, and that's just the Mako. And so there's probably, you know, dozens and dozens of the other ones too. So I just think that non-robotic surgery is going to be something that, I mean, the young guys and women coming out of residency training, they don't even know how to do it without the robot, many of them. So it's really the way things are going to be. And so the Mako robot does not use just an x-ray. We use a 3D CT scan. So the CT scan is it's called computerized tomography. You've probably heard of a CT. You lay down in the tube, and it gives a complete every little nook and cranny of that knee. We know exactly where it is. So there's no surprises at all. And it allows us to plan it and execute it better, more accurately. So when you use a non-robotic platform, everybody's getting essentially the same cuts on the bones. On the femur bone is the thigh bone, and the tibia is the shin bone. So we're cutting the ends off of those bones. And the non-robotic way of doing that, everybody gets the same cut. And then what you do is you loosen up the ligaments to make sure that the knee balances out. It's called ligamentous balancing. Well, on the Mako robot, we don't do ligamentous balancing because we don't need to, because we're able to set to the very millimeter and degree exactly where we want to cut the bone. And the robotic arm, which I have a trigger in my hand, and then the robotic arm goes into the position, and then I push it forward. And so one of the things that's nice is it keeps you, I mean, I don't know if it's 100% impossible, but really isn't possible to get into trouble in the arteries that are behind the knee, because it would stop you from going there because it knows exactly where everything is. And so it has a thing called haptic guidance, and that stops you from going anywhere you have not programmed yourself to go. And in addition, when we put these prostheses, is what we call them, is what we call the actual knee implants, called a prosthesis. When we put the prosthesis in, we are putting it in where the ligaments are already balanced. It's a different philosophy. It's called kinematic alignment versus the older way is called mechanical alignment, where you line everything up perfectly straight and then you work around that by loosening up ligaments. So what we do is we line it up a little bit, not perfectly straight, but more anatomic, more where your knee is to begin with, rather than everybody getting a straight cut, which it isn't to begin with. So if that makes sense. And so that's one of the big things. And I can tell you that I used to do what's called a manipulation under anesthesia, where you would take someone back to the operating room at about 6 weeks or so. If they're not bending past 90 degrees, if you're not happy with their bending, you would just put them to sleep and just bend the knee for them. I used to do that every other week or so. About 5%, maybe 8% of my patients would need that procedure. I have done one of those, maybe two, since I got to St. Anthony's. So 600 or so knees, maybe more, that I've done since I've been here. And I've only had to manipulate one or two of them. So that's a huge, huge difference. And the patients are recovering so much faster, and they feel better. Now, the knee itself that we're using is the Stryker Triathlon. Now, the Triathlon was the best-selling knee in America before Stryker bought the Mako company and bought their robot. So this robot only puts in these Stryker knees. Well, this knee is excellent, and it's what we call press fit. So we don't put cement between the knee and the bone, and that has tremendous advantages, especially when you look at long-term life of the knee replacement, because the place where the knee replacement will fail is between the cement and the bone. And the reason it fails is because the plastic, so you have metal on the tibia side, metal on the femur side, and then you have plastic in between. Well, that plastic will wear down over time, although nowadays we're seeing a lot less wear with the newer types of plastic. Now, the plastic that we're using now is about 10 years old or so. But the way that they process it in the factory, it's called gamma irradiation. So they're using some radiation to make it essentially stronger, to give it better mechanical properties. And they're doing that now in an argon gas as opposed to doing it in oxygen. And they found that that makes it a lot more stable. So that piece is better. But it's still going to wear to some extent. And the particles from that wear, or from the metal wearing on the plastic, those particles are really small, and they, over decades, can go in between the cement and the bone in a cemented knee. Now, see, we don't use a cemented knee. We use a press-fit knee. So this knee has on the back of it, the tibia and the femur, on the back of it, they have little pieces of metal that are formed so that your own bone grows into it and articulates with it. It's like, if you can imagine, kind of like Velcro, only it's bony ingrowth. So the idea is that there's no cement bone interface in order for those small particles to get in and interfere with and cause loosening. So loosening is dramatically less likely, even over time. So we drill a couple of holes in the femur and a couple of holes in the tibia, and we're looking at a picture of exactly where that knee is and exactly where the blade is going over on the robot computer screen as we're doing it. So now I'm going to get Dr. Dirks in here at some point and talk about total hips and the advantages of those. But there are tremendous advantages in the hip too, but I really think it's just become almost essential in the knee. And I say that because what happens is you have, if you're doing the old literature, would say that 85% of patients are either very satisfied or satisfied with their knee replacement. With the Mako robot, it's 95% to 98%. So almost nobody is not happy. Look, there's always going to be one-off person here and there that for whatever reason didn't work out. It doesn't even mean that the surgery didn't go well. And I'm not just talking about myself, but any surgeon. Just because if you know someone that had a knee replacement, I don't care who the surgeon is, it's not necessarily a surgery that wasn't performed correctly that caused that to happen. People's bodies just react differently to different things, especially with things like stiffness. But anyway, the Mako robot stacks the deck in our favor. And then, of course, we have everything medically that we're doing different now. And I just talked about last week, we're now checking for and supplementing vitamin D because vitamin D deficiency has been shown to have a negative effect on total knee outcomes. Well, here's a public service announcement. Make sure you get your vitamin D. Really, probably all you need to do is just take a Centrum or whatever multivitamin, because multivitamins have been shown to have all kinds of great effects, slowing down cognitive decline. But vitamin D itself is something that's really, especially if you live in Iowa, I mean, you're not getting vitamin D today. So you get that from the sun. And I mean, milk is, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a little bit in milk, but I don't know how much milk you want to drink. But you just take a daily multi and you should be fine. But so we're checking vitamin D levels. We're supplementing vitamin D if we have to. We've talked about the fact that I use probiotics for my patients because probiotics, which are sort of bacterial cultures that you eat, and they restore a healthier balance of the bacteria that are already in your gut. And there are bacteria from your mouth all the way down and all the way through. And there's different bacteria in every part. There's a different bacteria in your mouth than in your stomach than your intestine, and even in different parts of your intestine. So we have patients take the probiotics in order to balance that out, and that has been shown to reduce some complications with knee replacement. Giving essential amino acids. These are the amino acids that you cannot manufacture in your body out of other parts of molecules. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. So in order to build any protein, you need to have the appropriate amino acids, and essential amino acids you have to take in your diet. So we're supplementing those as well. And that there has been studies that show that the thigh muscle shrinks less if you've been supplemented with amino acids around the time of surgery. And so these are overall nutritional status. You know, obviously I'm always talking to people about nutrition. Nutrition, there's a lot of debate about what appropriate nutrition is, but everybody from vegans to carnivores can agree that the less processed junk and sugary beverages you eat, the healthier you're going to be. So just start with that. And, you know, I do take every opportunity to use my interaction with a patient who is clearly obese and clearly not having a good, healthy diet. I take my interaction with that patient as an opportunity to try to help restore their health. And, you know, I just was talking, if you listened last week, about a patient of mine who had lost a bunch of weight in preparation for his knee replacement, and he got his hemoglobin A1C under control, which is that longer-term measure of your blood sugar, whereas if you just do the regular finger stick glucose, you can check the longer term with this thing called a hemoglobin A1C. And for those of you who might need to know your hemoglobin A1C, it's kind of an expensive test, but you can get those test kits just like your regular glucose test. You can get a hemoglobin A1C test at Walgreens. And so if you need to know it, like if your surgeon needs you to get to hemoglobin A1C of 7 for a knee replacement, which is what I do and I think most surgeons do, at least right down there by 7, certainly not 8. If you need to check that at home, you can check that. So I didn't get all that far. I only really talked about the Mako robot and the nutritional and metabolic preparation for a knee replacement as far as what we're doing in 2025. That's as far as I got today, so I'm going to have to pick that up next week and finish the rest of the pain control and the pre-op classes and all the other things that go along with it, and just talk about some of the advantages that you have at St. Anthony's and the way we're doing things. But I'm going to have to get back to that next week because I've run out of time. And so I'm going to take a cold walk back out to my car and go back to my clinic and see some patients. But thank you very much. I hope everybody is having a wonderful new year despite the weather. And I'll be back next week. So you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.